Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
As humans, we're doomed to live life far beneath God's intent. But as believers, we're called to the highest life possible, a life lived through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study Power for Life. It will change you. If you are in Christ, then you are called to the highest life possible and imaginable. Life lived through the power and the presence of the very Holy Spirit of God that came into your life the moment you trusted Christ as Savior. Power for Life, that's our topic on today's edition of Daily in the Word. Welcome to this daily radio program featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Dr. Chappell and this program when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. And if you haven't already, I hope you'll visit the website and subscribe to the Rooted in Christ daily devotional. Every day to your email box or to your RSS reader, you'll receive a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a rooted principle, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading that will challenge your life and take you through the Bible one day at a time, all the way through the Bible this year. We hope you'll join us on our Rooted in Christ study in the Daily in the Word devotional. Find it at dailyintheword.org. But right now, we're going to open our hearts to the Word of God and discover God's power for living our lives today. Today, we look at John chapter 16 and His power to guide. You need, and I need, God's guiding presence right now in this moment today. Here's more about it with Dr. Chappell.
He is the proof of your sonship. He reminds you that there is a God in heaven and there is a word that has been revealed, and He wants you to live your life according to that word. Listen, my friend, the Bible is like a roadmap, and the Holy Spirit is like a guide, and He wants to guide you to truthful living. He wants to guide you into integrity and into honoring the Lord in all that you do. This past week, as we were out in Colorado visiting our family, we took one day, and a few miles from the family farm, there's a town called Durango, Colorado. We went up into the area above Durango, and we got onto a raft there to go down the Animas River. And as we got into the raft with our family, just before we got into the raft, the guide had to have a little talk with us. Actually, before that, I had to sign my life away on legal documentation. People have been killed doing this. People have been maimed doing this. We want to be indemnified from any legal recourse. I told the lady, I said, man, you guys have good lawyers here. And then, of course, I signed it and gave it to him, got in that raft. He said, now, before we start down the river, he said, let's get some things straight. He said, I'm the guide. He said, I've been down this river thousands of times. He said, I know when to turn the raft so that we don't hit the trees that are in the middle of the river or the rocks that are in the middle of the river. And he said, let's practice. And he said, when I say three backwards, you give me three backwards. When I say three forward, you give me three forward. He went through it all. And he said, if you will do what I tell you to do, we'll reach our desired haven safely. We'll not tip over. We'll have a great time. He said, if you don't listen to me, I cannot guarantee that. I'm telling you what, we listened to what he said. We followed his instructions. You'll see on this next slide, there were a few times I thought it was all over, but the shouting, brother. But sure enough, he brought us right through. He brought us to our desired haven, and we got out safely, and no one was hurt. But I had to make a decision. So did our family. And the decision was simple. Are we going to listen to the guide and let the guide be the guide? Or are we going to do what we want to do? And that's your decision tomorrow morning. Are you going to get up and say, good morning, Lord? Lord, I want you to lead me today. Spirit of God, I want you to guide me into the truth today. I want to be a Christian man at work today. I want to be honest in my dealings today. I want to be a single adult today. Are you going to let him guide? And when God says three back, are you going to go three back? And when God says three forward, are you going to go three forward? You see, God wants to lead you in accordance to the scriptures and into the truth and away from the error. Notice, secondly, he's going to lead you with compliance to the Savior. If you follow the Holy Spirit, your life will become more like Jesus. You will comply with Jesus. Look at verse 13 once again. It says, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. We get a little glimpse in this portion of Scripture into the interrelatedness of the Godhead. We begin to sense that the Lord communicates with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Lord Jesus, and God the Father shares with the Son, and the Son with the Father, and all persons of the Godhead working for our salvation and working for the leadership that we need in our life. And we see here that Jesus Christ will be sharing with the Holy Spirit, who will give us the word and the mind of Jesus Christ. And we are commanded to live with the mind of Christ. But we cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. What I'm saying to you this morning, if you want the guidance of the Spirit, you must know it will always be according to the word of God. It will always be in compliance to the will of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, it will be to actions of obedience. The guided Christian is going to be reminded and guided toward obedience, not disobedience. The Holy Spirit will always lead you and me to be an obedient Christian. Now, I heard about a teacher that was grading a little boy's paper, and boy, she looked at this work, and she was frankly appalled with the results. I mean, she could not believe how terrible it was. She called the little fellow into class the next day. She said, I failed to see how one person could make so many mistakes. The little boy said, but teacher, it wasn't just one person. My dad helped. How many of you dads are like me? If you don't help with math homework, they're going to get a better grade, right? And so forth. But the fact of the matter is, we don't want our help to be detrimental. We want our help for our children to be a good thing. And God says, I want to help you if you'll let me. I want to guide you to some actions that will help you be a better man. Notice some of those actions we see in the scripture. God says, I want you to study my word. I want you to be a person, 2 Timothy 2:15, that studies to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Boy, I know some people this morning that study basketball. They know how many points Kobe had in his series when they beat the Celtics this past week. They know how many points Ron Artest had. They might even know the name of Ron Artest's psychiatrist. I do not know. I know some people that study golf. They study Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, and they can tell you when they won and when they almost won. There are people that study a lot of things, but the spiritual man has this inner prompting to study this book. To study the Word of God. And like a wise mechanic who knows which tool to pull out for a particular need, the wise man knows which truth to pull out at a particular time. To help his child, to help his Sunday school class, to help his co-worker whose marriage is having difficulty. He knows when to pull it out. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as that same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives an anointing of understanding. Theologically, we refer to it as illumination. The Bible is given to us through the process of inspiration. That is the Holy Spirit breathing His words and these apostles and prophets writing them down. But then we must have the illumination or the anointing of the Spirit to understand the Word of God. Yes, God will use preaching and God will use commentaries and God will give us helps, but He has given primarily His Holy Spirit to be our teacher and to help us understand. And the Holy Spirit is going to prompt us to the Word of God. Have you ever wondered what would happen in America if we would treat our Bibles like we treat our cell phones? We don't dare leave the house without our cell phone. We make sure it's charged and ready to go. What would happen if everybody carried their Bible in their pocket or their purse? What would happen in America if we flipped through it several times a day? What would happen in America if we would go home to get our Bible because we forgot our Bible? What would happen if we received messages from the text? What would happen if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to our kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in the case of an emergency? What would happen to your life if you referred to the Bible as often as you refer to your cell phone? The Holy Spirit will prompt you this way. He will prompt you to the Word. He will prompt you to prayer. He wants you to pray and seek His face and acknowledge Him. The Bible says in Jude in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." God says, "I want you to pray. I want you to pray in my spirit." Jesus said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." How does the Holy Spirit guide us? He guides us in accordance to the Scriptures. He guides us into the will of Christ. He guides us to be actively obedient. And fourthly, He guides us by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You see, all of us need to be convicted. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how old or young you are, all of us need the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes you might walk out of here, you might go, "Man, it felt like the pastor was preaching just to me today." Good. Someone said to me once, "Man, you were stepping all over my toes today." I said, "I'm sorry, I was trying for your heart." See, all of us need to feel. Look, you don't need to find a church where you feel so comfortable. You need to be somewhere where every once in a while there's a discomfort wrought by the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you recognize something in your life is not right and it needs to be made right, and God's Holy Spirit is pointing it out, and you realize perhaps you're not saved, perhaps you need to get right with your spouse, perhaps you need to confess sin. The Spirit of God will convict us, John 16:8, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. One little boy was asked, "What is conviction?" And he thought about that for a minute. He was only 6 years old. He said, "Well, I reckon conviction is, it's that something that makes you feel bad when you kick girls." Now, some of you have never felt conviction about that. You just were enjoying it too much when you were a kid in school. But God's Holy Spirit brings conviction when we're doing something we ought not to do, when we're saying something we ought not to say, when we're living a way we ought not to live, when we're bitter, God says forgive. When we are involved in some form of malice or hatred or envy, God says let it go. The Holy Spirit has power to do that. How many of you have figured out Pastor Chapel can't go to work with you every day? If you want me to, just tell me at the door. I'll try to show up tomorrow. But how many figured out your Sunday school teacher can't go to work with you every day? Your spouse, your wife who's maybe a good Christian, or your husband who's maybe a good Christian, cannot be with you every day, but there is one who will guide you every day, and He is the Holy Spirit of God. The gift of God at salvation, besides forgiveness, besides heaven, is the Holy Spirit of God. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is something we sense through the Scriptures and we sense through His conviction, and it is real to the Christian who wants it. And then finally this morning, notice the glorification of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, through us, will always seek to glorify Jesus Christ. This is where the modern day charismatic Pentecostal movement at times has slipped far away from the truth. in overemphasizing the Holy Spirit when the ministry of the Holy Spirit is primarily to exalt Jesus Christ. You want to know a Spirit-filled Christian or a Spirit-filled church? Are people coming to Jesus and being saved? Is Jesus being lifted high? Is Jesus being exalted? Oh, we must lift up, and I've endeavored through these months to share with you the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but now let me share specifically. The Holy Spirit's desire is to exalt Jesus, my friend. Notice if you would, the Bible says in verse number 14, He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, Jesus Christ, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now here we see the word show. It means to make known. It means to announce. The Holy Spirit wants to make known the ministry and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, notice, He shall testify of me. The mark characteristic of a Christian that is filled with the Spirit is that they make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't with my grandmother 5 minutes this past week until she shared with me how that at age 94 she had led her neighbor to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a Spirit-filled woman. She didn't tell me of some experience or some campaign or some televangelist or some other thing going on, but she told me about who she had recently told about Jesus Christ. And you see, the Spirit-filled Christian talks about Him, lives for Him, glorifies Him. It's all about Jesus. And I want to say, first of all, as a Christian guided by the Spirit, our desire should be to glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Wherefore I give you unto understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. My friend, when you exalt Jesus, it's the Spirit causing you to exalt Jesus. When you sit down at work with a friend and you sense this desire to tell them about Jesus, you say, I'm not a great soul winner. Listen, have you been saved? Tell someone else how you got saved. And you have this desire to tell someone about Jesus. Let me tell you something. The devil's not trying to get you to tell somebody about Jesus. That desire, my friend, is coming from the Holy Spirit, who will glorify the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a reason for living in this world save to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He's left me on this planet. He's left me on this planet. He's giving me breath to breathe this morning that I might tell someone else about Jesus. That's what it's all about, my friend. Exalting and glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to exalt Jesus in His person and in His place of deity. Notice in verse 15, the Bible says, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus is claiming here a compatibility with the Father. He is claiming here equality with the Father. John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Colossians 2 and verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you understand the eternality of Jesus Christ, that He is equal with the Father? Oh, I understand this morning the Jehovah Witness come by and they peddle their literature and they say that Jesus began in Bethlehem's manger. Oh no, my friend, Jesus said, before Abraham I was. Oh, do you understand Jesus is eternal God? I understand the cults such as Iglesia de Cristo. I understand the Mormons and others to say that Jesus Christ was a man who became God, but my friend, Jesus has always been God and equal with God the Father, and we're here to proclaim the wonderful glorification and deity of Jesus Christ. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You want your life to be a Spirit-filled life? Talk of Jesus. Live for Jesus. Let others know of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of Him. We must glorify the person of Jesus. Secondly, we must glorify the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it. Jesus said, He shall glorify me because God is perfect, because His Son is perfect. Then when He died on the cross, listen, He wasn't just another criminal on a cross. He was the perfect Son of God on that cross. And He died on the cross for a specific reason. That reason is that you and I in our sin do not deserve heaven. We fall short. Every father here today, though I applaud your effort to raise your family for God, I must remind you of the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, to forgive us of our sin. Romans 10 and verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering, offering, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. My friend, it doesn't matter if it was the priest in the temple in the Old Testament or the so-called Roman Catholic priest of the modern day. There is not a sacrament, there is not any act of a priest or a pastor that can take away sin. They can never take away sin. But this man, Jesus, when he died on the old rugged cross and when he shed his blood and that blood came flowing down, that blood was efficacious. That blood was what would cause the covering of sin for all of mankind. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning that without the shedding of the blood, we're without hope. Without the shedding of the blood, we have no home in heaven. And it's because Jesus shed his blood that you and I can be forgiven today. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfectly sinless blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for your sin and for mine. Dr. R.G. Lee, the great pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church for many decades in Nashville, Tennessee, visited with a group from his church, the Holy Land, and they came to that place called the Hill of the Skull, the place where Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for our sin. And Mr. Lee said to his guide, an Arab man who was showing them around, "Sir, I've been to the bottom, but I'd like to go to the top of this hill. I'd like to see all of it. I'd like to understand more of the place where my Savior died." The man said, "I don't think we should go up there," he urged, and after a while they went to the top. Pastor Lee stood there with tears flowing down his face. The guide said, "Sir, have you ever been here before?" Pastor R.G. Lee said, "Yes. 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, my sin was on the Lord Jesus as he shed his blood for me. 2,000 years ago, I was here given victory by the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, the price was paid for my sin. And my friend, when Jesus Christ died on the old rugged cross, he had you on his mind. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died to save us. Not only that, Jesus lives to provide for us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. May I say to you that are born again Christians this morning, there's a wonderful place being prepared for you by Jesus. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus not only died to save us, but he lives to provide a place called heaven for us. What a wonderful truth. And if you're not sure that heaven is your home, even today, you can trust Christ and be saved.
You've been listening to Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying Power for Life, what it means to live life each and every moment of every day with the guiding power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That presence and that power changes everything. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ, if you're not a believer, we invite you today to make that decision to invite the Savior to come into your life, to let his Holy Spirit take up residence, and then you can begin this dynamic daily relationship, moment by moment, experiencing the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Before we go, I want to tell you about a couple of resources that we hope will strengthen your walk with Christ. First, a companion book to this series, Power for Life. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Understanding the Spirit-Filled Life. It's written by Dr. Chapel. It's a powerful paperback book that will be a tremendous companion in your daily devotional life, and it will help you discover the unfolding daily work of power and grace and transformation that the Holy Spirit wants to bring about in your heart now that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's again entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity. You can find out more about it when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. It's also available at amazon.com in paperback form and also for the Amazon Kindle. We hope you'll take a look at it real soon. Next, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find recent broadcasts. You can subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take the preaching and teaching of Dr. Chapel on your iPod or computer and listen to it anytime at your convenience. But very importantly, we've redesigned our daily devotional. We're calling it this year Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box or RSS reader or to your website bookmark page, you'll find a very encouraging daily word of encouragement and devotion. And it's followed by an Old Testament and a New Testament scripture reading that will take you through the Bible in 1 year. It's a free subscription, and we believe that it will help you to become more rooted in Christ in the new year. You can subscribe to it by going to dailyintheword.org and clicking on today's devotion. Again, dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.